When he had finished with his words, the thief raised high his fists with both figs cocked and cried, "Take that, O God, I square them off for you." From that time on, those serpents were my friends, for one of them coiled them around his neck, as if to say, "I'll have you speak no more." Another wound about his arms and bound him again, and wrapped itself in front so firmly, he could not even make them budge an inch. Historia, Historia, must you last? Why not decree yourself incineration, since you surpass your seed in wickedness? Throughout the shadowed circles of deep hell, I saw no soul against God so rebel, not even he who fell from Theban walls. He fled and could not say another word. And then I saw a centaur, full of anger, shouting, "Where is he? Where is that bitter one?" I do not think Marema has the number of snakes that centaur carried on his haunch until the part that takes our human form. Upon his shoulders and behind his nape, there lay a dragon with its wings outstretched. It sets ablaze all those it intercepts. My master said, "That centaur there is Cactus, who often made a lake of blood within a grotto underneath Mount Aventine. He does not ride the same road as his brothers, because he stole, and most deceitfully, from the great herd nearby. His crooked deeds ended beneath the club of Hercules, who may have given him 100 blows, but he was not alive to feel the tenth." While he was talking so, Cacus ran by, and just beneath our ledge, three souls arrived, but neither I nor my guide noticed them until they had cried out, "And who are you?" At this, the words we shared were interrupted, and we attended only to those spirits. I did not recognize them, but as it happened, as chance will usually bring about, that one of them called out the other's name, exclaiming, "Where was Chianfa left behind?" At this, so that my guide might be alert, I raised my finger up from chin to nose. If, reader, you are slow now to believe what I shall tell, that is no cause for wonder, for I who saw it hardly can accept it. As I kept my eyes fixed upon those sinners, a serpent with 6 feet springs out against one of the three and clutches him completely. It gripped his belly with its middle feet, and with its forefeet grappled his two arms, and then it sank its teeth in both his cheeks. It stretched its rear feet out along his thighs and ran its tail along between the two, then straightened it again behind his loins. No ivy ever gripped a tree so fast as when that horrifying monster clasped and intertwined the other's limbs with his. Then just as if their substance were warm wax, they stuck together and they mixed their colors, so neither seemed what he had been before. Just as when paper's kindled, where it still has not caught flame in full, its colors dark, though not yet black, while white is dying off. The other two souls stared, and each one cried, "And yellow, how you change! Just see, you are already neither two nor one." Then two heads were already joined in one, when in one face where two had been dissolved, two intermingled shapes appeared to us. Two arms came into being from four lengths. The thighs and legs, the belly and the chest became such limbs as never had been seen. And every former shape was cancelled then. That perverse image seemed to share in both and none. And so, and slowly, it moved on. Just as the lizard, when it darts from hedge to hedge beneath the dog's day's giant leash, seems, if it cross one's path, a lightning flash. So seemed a blazing little serpent moving against the bellies of the other two, as black and livid as a peppercorn. Attacking one of them, it pierced right through the part where we first take our nourishment, and then it fell before him at full length. The one it had transfixed stared, but said nothing. In fact, he only stood his ground and yawned, as one whom sleep or fever has undone. The serpent stared at him, he at the serpent. One through his wound, the other through his mouth, were smoking violently. Their smoke meant. Let Lucan now be silent, where he sings of sad Sabellus and Nasidus, and wait to hear what flies off from my bow. Let Ovid now be silent, where he tells of Cadmus, Arethusa. If his verse has made of one a serpent, one a fountain, I do not envy him. He never did transmute two natures face to face so that both forms were ready to exchange their matter. These were the ways they answered to each other. The serpent split its tail into a fork. The wounded sinner drew his steps together. The legs and then the thighs along with them so fastened to each other that the juncture soon left no sign that was discernible. Meanwhile, the cleft tail took upon itself form the other gradually lost. Its skin grew soft, the other skin grew hard. I saw the arms that drew in at his armpits, and also saw the monster's two short feet grow long, for just as much as those were shortened. The serpent's hind feet twisted up together and became the member that man hides, just as the wretch put out two hind claws from his member. And while the smoke veils each other with a new color, and now breeds hair upon the skin of one, just as it strips the hair from off the other, the one rose up, the other fell. And yet they never turned aside their impious eye lamps, beneath which each of them transformed his snout. He who stood up drew his back toward the temples, and from the excess matter growing there came ears upon the cheeks that had been bare. Whatever had not been pulled back but kept, superfluous, then made his face a nose and thickened out his lips appropriately. He who was lying down thrust out his snout, and even as the snail hauls in its horns, he drew his ears straight back into his head. His tongue, which had before been whole and fit for speech, now cleaves. The other's tongue, which had been forked, now closes up, and the smoke stops. The soul that had become an animal, now hissing, hurried off along the valley. The other one, behind him, speaks, not spits. And then he turned aside his new-made shoulders and told the third soul, I'd have Buoso run on all fours down this road, as I have done. And so I saw the seventh ballast change and rechange. May the strangeness plead for me if there's been some confusion in my pen. And though my eyes were somewhat blurred, my mind bewildered, those three sinners did not flee so secretly that I could not perceive Puccio Sciancato clearly, he who was the only soul who had not been changed among the three companions we had met at first. The other one made you gavile, green.
E si ritene di quel soverchio. Fenaso alla faccia e la labbra ingrossò quanto malene. Quel che giacea, il musso innanzi caccia, e gli orecchi ritira per la testa come face e cona la lumaccia. E la lingua, che avea unita e presto prima a parlare, si pende e la forcuta nell'altro si richiude, il fumo resta, l'anima che era fiera divenuta, soffolando si fugge per la valle, e l'altro dietro a lui parlando spunta. Poschi le volse le novelle spalle e disse all'altro, il vo che vuol soccorre, come fatio, carpon per questo cale. Così vidio la settima zavora mutare e transmutare. E qui mi scusi la novità se fior la pena avora. E avvenne che gli occhi miei confusi fossero alquanto e l'animo smagato, non poter quel fuggirsi tanto più sì. Chi non scorgesi ben uccio sbiancato, era quel che so di tre compagni che venir prima non era mutato. L'altra era quel che tu, Gavile, Gianni.